Again, as part of the use of external contractors, we've reached across the whole United States to find the right people for us. And we have with us today Tim from the University of Chicago to tell us about the work we've done with the University of Chicago. Tim.
Thank you, Richard. So I'm Tim Mulcahy from the University of Chicago and NORC at the University of Chicago, and what I'd like to talk about today is the Data Enclave Project. It is a project that NIST sponsored about 2 years ago with the idea of developing a platform to provide access to the sensitive business-level microdata that they have, the business reporting survey series that Jennifer talked about earlier. I'm just going to talk about a few things here. First, just the Enclave mission and how it maps into NIST's mission. Some talk about the structure of the Enclave itself and then how you actually access it and go into a bit of the environment itself with some screenshots. And last, just to give you a bit of an update on where we are with the NIST project in terms of the researchers that are in the environment as we speak. So at a high level, the mission of the Data Enclave is to promote access to the sensitive level business microdata, and like I mentioned, it maps directly to the TIP mandate to accelerate the development of high-risk transformational research targeted to address key societal challenges. It also allows NIST researchers to look further into a number of the areas that are paramount to the agency's mission, that being entrepreneurship and innovation, early-stage technology development, and commercialization of high-risk R&D. At the same time, a parallel interest, of course, is to protect the confidentiality of the data and, of course, the respondents behind those data. I'm going to talk a little bit about the portfolio approach that we've developed in order to safeguard this confidentiality. It's a process that encompasses technical, legal, organizational, and statistical protections. Lastly, the mission here is to index, archive, and curate the NIST microdata so it is available in perpetuity. So this slide really shows the parallel between the Enclave mission and NIST's goals. You know, at a high level, we're trying to provide access to these data. These are data that are an extremely rich data set, as folks have talked about earlier, and we want to provide greater access to those data to examine entrepreneurship and firm behavior. Equally important is the idea of developing a research community around these data. We are in the process of funding researchers, graduate students, and in the future it looks as though we may have some undergraduates as well. I'll talk a bit about that in a little bit as well. Lastly, and potentially most importantly, is the cultivation, if you will, of higher quality research. These data arguably have not been accessed and manipulated and evaluated as much as, or used for evaluation purposes as much as we would like. And the idea here is that if we're providing access to researchers that are credible, we are potentially going to increase the value of the program itself in terms of high-quality analysis being leveraged in terms of government investment into this initiative, and although you can't see the last bullet there, the development of the metadata itself, which is just a crucial component that we will emphasize as I go forward. So when we thought about this 2 years ago, you know, what would be the ideal structure providing access to sensitive microdata like the BRS survey series? Of course, it needs to be secure. It needs to be an environment that's safe and that data producers are confident that the that both the physical and IT security is sort of paramount. The next, it needs to be flexible because we're going to have a number of different data producers and data sets that we need to be able to work with producers to make sure that each of the data sets that they bring in, that we're able to provide it at the same level that they'd like to. For instance, if there are certain data sets that are extremely sensitive, well, then we're going to have different, more tangible procedures to follow. That we'll go into that a little bit later as well. It needs to be low cost when we're looking at some of the other access modalities that are out there. It's clear that cost is a real issue, and we want to be cognizant of that. Fourth is the idea of meeting the replication standard, and this is dead on to what's being talked about here today. If these data are not being accessed, if they're not being manipulated and used by as many people as we'd like to, quality researchers, how do we know that we're able to verify the analyses that are out there? We want to develop a platform that will increase the not just access to the data, but the ability to replicate these data so that this is, as it says, it's a way to understand and evaluate the empirical analysis fully. And in order to do that, we need to know exactly how the process was originated. How did the data originate? So this idea of meeting the metadata standard is crucial to this. I think all of us can attest to the fact that if data are not documented very well, they're as good as useless. And the data enclave is, among other things, a way for us to encourage researchers to focus on the idea of metadata. And this is, you know, the survey cycle starting from the beginning to the end, that we're constantly documenting and making it available for other researchers so that they can also go in and replicate this too. So the idea, again, is that this is it comes full swoop. This process is not a static one. It's in motion, and we're trying to create a foundation that will extend this data life cycle, if you will. So the structure that we have in place, not surprisingly, it maps directly with the points we had in terms of what will be an ideal system. It's low cost. I think one of the comparative utilities of this platform is that we're providing remote access to folks. They're not having to drive to a regional data center or to another construct that's out there now. We do get the data from their own workstation at work. We do have parameters, of course. They need to be working on this through a predefined static or predefined range IP address so that we're clear on exactly who's coming in and from where, and there is a sort of audit trail on that as well. The way that we secure this process, as I mentioned before, is to sort of have a wraparound portfolio process. I think anybody who's looked at this process would tell you that no single a component that you put in place is going to solve this. So the thinking is to limit the risk of this entire process, let's have a full spectrum of portfolio process to affect this from the technical, legal, operational aspects of this. And, again, we'll go into this a little bit further later. And then, again, being flexible, working with data providers to meet their needs. So if there are certain data sets that they would like to have a higher educational or training component, that they would want to have more the data be masked more so than other data. The idea is we can work with folks by producer, by data set, to customize the process around these data. And just want to mention, too, that currently, in addition to NIST, who sponsored the initiative, we have a group from USDA, the Economic Research Service, and NASS, and folks from the Kauffman Foundation as well, the Kauffman Firm Survey. The last point here is just, again, getting back to the sort of importance of metadata. And so we work with the producers to take the data in, to make it DDI compliant. Once the data are in there, we create an environment for researchers. The point here is that we're taking researchers away from their normal routine. We're bringing them into an interface where they no longer are able to get to their network. They're no longer able to get to their files on their desktop. So it needs to be a collaboratory. It needs to be a collaborative focus on this. So it's not just bringing people together, but it's bringing tools to bear that folks would need, statistical tools, collaboration tools, like wikis and blogs and discussion forums and these sort of things, you know, because they can't email each other. They can't come out of the environment. So to the extent that we can make available all the types of things that researchers need within the environment, that's the goal here. So, So, again, this sort of, I think, sort of summarizes our approach here. The idea is the sort of tension between the data utility and confidentiality, and in sort of finding a good midpoint on that. We have legal processes, operational processes, statistical processes, and technological processes. All folded together, we believe, minimizes the risk to a palpable level. So here I'm going to go through a couple screenshots of the environment itself. So it's a Windows sort of look and feel to it. You'll have your start button down the left corner, although it's not showing here. On that start button, you'll have all your statistical applications just like you normally do at home. Now, once you have your credentials to get into the environment, you dial up the URL, enclave.norc.org, and it launches you, in this case, directly into the NORC, the Data Enclave web, the sort of homepage. There's three components to this. There's the homepage at the NORC level, then there's the producer level page, and then there's a researcher level page. And this one here, I'll go into a deeper dive on some of these things in a few minutes. But you can see that if they get into the environment, the first thing that they see is the sort of area for what's new. Since the last time I came into the environment, what's happening? And did Andrew come in and run some really great regressions and you came up with some really interesting things? You might just want to go ahead and post that. You might share it with your colleagues. There may be some code. There may be some macros, some combined variables, just some things you're working up that you might want to share with your colleagues. The minute that they pop in, they'll see a sort of an update on progress. You'll see at the lower level pane there, we call a document library, and we'll show a little bit more graphics on that as we go forward. But here's an area where you're going to find recordings, presentations from the Data Enclave training that we've done. It will have all of the available documentation for the entire survey series. And this sort of thing. It also have not just SAS code and Stata code and this sort of thing in the library, but actual documents. So if there's an awful lot of sort of data, metadata reports around which the topic around which I'm looking at. If this, you know, again, the idea is let's try to make this robust environment that it's as good if you were as I was at home or at work. On the left-hand pane, you'll sort of see a bunch of links that go into various components of the Enclave itself. On the right side over there, you'll see an area for technical support. So if anybody has an issue with, in this sense, they were having a problem accessing Stata, so they write in a note saying there's a problem with Stata, and quickly we address the issue. Here's just a couple examples of how the researchers at the researcher level are able to organize their work and exchange ideas. There's the announcement part of this. There's an area for tasks. Like I just mentioned, I've just run some regressions. In this sense, it's somebody subset some data to small enterprise and ran some regressions on funding amounts and made that available. Again, we're trying to stimulate discussion. I think the jury's still out on how well and how efficient the use of discussions and wikis and blogs are, but our point is let's put it out there and seed the process and try to identify some champions and move the process forward. In the bottom pane there, you can see some team discussions. I've got, in this case, somebody wanted to know a little bit more about how to use the portal environment. And lastly, you see on the far upper right there, just a calendar item. So something was happening at the Enclave training, and we wanted to list an announcement on that. Now, here's a look at it from the Enclave level itself. Folks can come in the beginning, get an idea of what's new, what's been happening since the last time they were in. Area for getting started if there was sort of a needing a primer on how I use the environment again. It's always there for them to use and to update. You have your own calendar, both for a private and for a shared area and for the global group itself. And lastly, there's just some sort of background information at a high level about the Enclave. Moving on to some more Enclave-level features here, and this is sort of picking up in the middle where it says surveys information. We'll have as much information about the surveys as we can. And then in this sense, we have more general information about the BRS survey series. This is a screenshot of the document library. So within this, you can have both data, metadata, reports, all relevant to the BRS survey series. Folks can have things, reports also uploaded as well. The problem there really is only that you need to go through me and my staff. Since it's a lockdown environment, everything needs to come through me and others in order to get proof to be safe to be in the environment itself. Again, some more on group level features, trying to get this collaborative approach working, stimulate the collaboration. You know, we have the wiki, we have blogs, we have an area for shared documents. You have your own private area, but you also have a shared area for sharing references, scripts, documentation. If you have some tables that you'd like disclosure proof, you drop it into the area for disclosure proof. We take a look at it. We work with the producer. No data come out of the environment until it's been completely disclosure proof, both at NORC and by the data producer. Current status, we have 6 research groups in there right now. We have 8 researchers that are focusing specifically on topics of key importance to NIST. Examples of some of the institutions from which these researchers are from are Duke University, Washington State University, State University of New York, Ohio State University. This is just an example. Brandeis, there's a number of others as well. I also want to mention that we've just made a number of new awards. Now, the point is we want to get researchers in to look at these data and further the technology innovation program's new mission. And you see here the 3 yellow bullets are the types of things that we are asking for researchers. This is a two-way street, right? We're giving you access to this thing. But we also want some benefits from you. So when you're coming in, when you write your proposal to get access to the enclave, you have to show that you know, you're working on a dissertation and you want to use the enclave for that purpose. You're going to use the data and improve the quality of the data. So you're going to go in there and find some missing values, find some issues with the data set, which is terrific. Send it back to the producer. The data set itself is improved, constantly improving the data set. Last point is methodological information that can be used to provide information about TIP. And you'll see the 5 bullets that fall under this. I'm not going to read them all, but you know, those are directly tied to TIP's mission. So we're bringing in really credible, top-notch researchers, providing an access platform for them, the tools that they need, stimulating their collaborative approach to these things, and equally importantly, trying to keep them focused on NIST's mission, in particular TIP's mission as well. Lastly, we are now in the process of trying to develop metrics for the platform itself and trying to get a sense of, well, how well are we doing now that we've built this. I mean, we're very, I think, excited about it, but it's very difficult to find good ways to measure this. So if anybody has any suggestions about that, we're all ears. But right now it's the number of interactions, how many people are coming in, how frequently they're in, where they're spending most of their time, how much are they contributing to the collaborative in terms of wiki, and are they providing code and combined variables, macros, this sort of thing. Lastly, it's the research output. So I think one of the things that's really important about this project is we're pushing the output. The time from start to finish on output, anecdotally, is increased significantly, which, again, is right on with NIST's mission. And last, it's developing incentives. So, you know, establishing some leaders within these research groups to be champions. And I think we're all guilty in this room of being sort of silo-oriented in our research, and you really need to have some researchers who step up and sort of bring everybody along. And the last piece is external communications, much like this, where we're just trying to let people know what we're up to and how things are going, and then look for any sort of questions that folks might have or any feedback. So appreciate the opportunity. And also want to say that we've got some brochures back on the other table here. Feel free to take one of those. They have copies of the Data Enclave newsletter, both the issue number 1 and issue 2.